Offside. Janki, odidi domov. V noči na soboto so Združene države Amerike po mesecih napadov na plovila v Tihem oceanu in Karibskem morju napadle Venezuelo in ugrabile venezuelskega predsednika Nicolasa Madura. Ameriški predsednik Donald Trump je v petek zvečer odobril operacijo Absolutna odločnost, v kateri ameriška vojska z več kot 150 letali napadla več mest po državi. Imperialisti so obstreljevali glavno vojaško bazo v kraju Fuerte Tijuna, pristanišče La Guaira, več letališč, vladna poslopja in grobišče nekdanjega predsednika Huga Chaveza. V bombardiranju je ameriška vojska ubila 80 ljudi, ob tem tudi 32 kubanskih državljanov, ki so bili po trditvah kubanske vlade del Madurovega varovanja. Okoli 2 zjutraj po lokalnem času je posebna enota Delta Force ugrabila predsednika Madura ter njegovo ženo in poslanko v nacionalni ustavodajni skupščini Silvio Flores. Oba so s helikopterem prepeljali na letalo nosilko USS Iwo Jima in nato z letalom v vojaško bazo Stewart v New York, odkoder so odpeljali v zapor v Brooklynu. Potek napada predstavi profesor na Bolivarski univerzi Venezuele Chris Gilbert.
On Saturday, 2 a.m. in the morning, we were all woken up to the sound of explosions in the city. The explosions lasted for about 45 minutes with different levels of intensity for some people in the city. People I was in contact with, the explosions were huge and deafening. It appears that approximately 7 sites in the greater Caracas area were hit. Then there were also, there's Higuerote, which is a coastal city, approximately 30 minutes away from Venezuela, was also struck. And Aragua State, towards the west, was also struck. During the course of the morning, we received communications from the government about what had happened. And early in the morning, the Chief of the Armed Forces, Defense Minister Vladimir Padrino Lopez, spoke to people, explained what had happened, explained that the military continued to be loyal to President Nicolas Maduro. And then we learned that President Nicolas Maduro had been kidnapped by the United States, taken to the United States, along with his wife, Celia Flores. I'd like to point out that from the beginning, the government has remained calm and serene, and there is an overwhelming sense of calmness and serenity in the city. From the very beginning, I was able to go out in the morning and determine that the streets were in a state, not in a state of commotion. And the only demonstrations you hear are demonstrations in support of the government. There was an important rally in front of Miraflores Palace, the presidential palace, that occurred spontaneously on January 3rd around midday. Speakers came up on the platform, insisted that the president be returned, insisted on support for the government, and of course insisted on Venezuela's right to remain a sovereign country. I think a key event during the day was this, approximately, this is the first day, Saturday, was the 3 p.m. press conference held by Vice President Delcy Rodriguez. And it's important to point out that she approached the situation with a great deal of serenity. She indicated that first, she made several demands. She insisted that the United States return the kidnapped President Nicolas Maduro. She insisted that, and correctly, that the chain of command remains intact. And that, by constitution, as vice president, she is the acting president. And that was made explicit later on during the day.
Po vdoru v suvereno državo se je predsednik Trump na tiskovni konferenci pohvalil z ugrabitvijo in napovedal de facto okupacijo Venezuele. Obenem je brezsramno dodal, da bo Združeno državni imperij poskrbel za popravilo, beri privatizacijo venezuelske naftne infrastrukture in bodo nafto prodali drugim državam. Venezuelska vlada je Trumpove izjave označila za poskus zloma politične neodvisnosti države. V decembru je ameriška vojska ukradla 2 naftna tankerja. Trump pa je v decembru odredil tudi pomorsko blokado tankerjev, ki plujejo v Venezuelo ali iz nje. Kot pove Gilbert, je želja po nadzorovanju venezuelske nafte le eden izmed razlogov za agresijo.
The United States' aggression against Venezuela is based on 2 elements. Of course, there's the economic element, the claim to control the world resources, and Venezuela having the largest proven oil reserves. naturally falls under the in the sights of U.S. imperialism. Anyone who understands imperialism, the function of imperialism, imperialism is a result of concentrated monopoly development and leads to attempts to imperialist rivalry. But in the current state of affairs, the United States is almost a unique imperialist power. It subordinates other imperialist countries such as Japan and European countries, the Western European countries. But the United States is almost a unique imperialist power. And in the name of its monopoly development, imperialist countries and the almost unique imperialist country at present, the United States, attempts to control the world's resources as inputs to its monopoly capitalism. So this has always been an interest in Venezuela's oil. As everyone knows, fossil fuels are central to global production. They become even more important, and there's been a new urgency because of the level of wars the United States is carrying out. Wars require fossil fuels. And additionally, the whole AI, artificial intelligence boom, I would call it a bubble rather, that requires rapid sources of energy that will not be provided except through fossil fuels, through gas, coal, oil. So there's a particular urgency right now to control, to seize Venezuela's oil.
Kot drugi razlog sogovornik navaja uspeh Venezuele kot od ZDA neodvisne države.
It's also the example, the political example, the social example, the socialist example, the example of self-determination that Venezuela has put onto the global stage from the beginning with Hugo Chavez and continued under Nicolas Maduro. The example of sovereignty, the pursuit of an alternative economic model, social, which has a name, socialism, in our case, Bolivarian socialism. And this is, of course, a very dangerous thing for the United States because it shows there's a different way of organizing things, a different way of democratically organizing a society, a different way of democratically organizing production. Before the sanctions came in to Venezuela, Venezuela was one of the few countries in the world to accomplish UN goals of eliminating poverty. There was a tremendous surge in the level of well-being in people that reached across social classes, but of course, most importantly, affected the most needy classes. People who never had houses had houses. People who never had education had education. Of course, these achievements were partly eaten away by the terrible and cruel sanctions regime that was started around 2014, but became very aggressive, and particularly as Trump made very harsh and complete sanctions against Venezuelan oil production.
Venezuelska podpredsednica Delcy Rodriguez je po napadih dejala, da je Maduro edini predsednik države. Trump se je na to odzval z novo grožnjo, da bo v primeru neposlušnosti Rodriguez plačala višjo ceno kot Maduro. V soboto je ustavna zbornica državnega vrhovnega sodišča Rodriguez naročila naj prevzame položaj vršilke dolžnosti predsednice države za 90 dni. Odločitev vrhovnega sodišča je podprl tudi obrambni minister Vladimir Padrino López, ki je v nedeljskem nagovoru sporočil, da oborožene sile podpirajo njeno imenovanje. Padrino López je dejal tudi, da je bila ugrabitev strahovito dejanje in dodal, da so na celotnem ozemlju razglasili izredne razmere. Danes bo Rodriguez zaprisega kot vršilka dolžnosti, potem ko je prevzela uslužno retoriko ZDA in pozvala k skupnemu sodelovanju. Gilbert pojasni, da je Rodriguez v svojem govoru omenila Maduro obrambni načrt.
She had a number of points in her first communication. And the first one she said is that Venezuela is a sovereign country. And she said Venezuela is not the colony of any country. And she also called upon the defense. She said that Nicolas Maduro had left a defense plan. And the defense plan was called the Union of the Civilians, Military, and Police. And that was being activated. So as is typical of Venezuelan revolutionary leadership, of which she's second in command, the solution is to rely on the people. Rely on the relationship to the people. And this, of course, is very important. It flies in the face of what Trump in his arrogance claims. They, of course, believe that, or they promote the idea that a group is running the country. It's not a group running the country. It's democratically elected government that has huge popular support. And that very social fabric, that connection with the people that passes through the armed forces and passes through the police, that's the key to Venezuela's sovereignty, and that's the key to their own strength. So what we're facing in this situation is a complete, it's of course a battle of ideas in which the ideas that Trump and his team of sycophants manage are the ideas that simply they are in charge, that they have a colonial right to name and to change regimes at their whim. They believe they have a colonial right of life over death, of life and death over what they consider to be colonial subjects. And they also, as people who saw the press conference, Trump's press conference, they also believe they have a colonial right over the world's resources, starting with or including Venezuela's oil and gold.
Imperialistične težnje so podprle predvsem vazalske države Evropske unije. Prvi izmed podpornikov kolonializma in imperializma, francoski predsednik Emmanuel Macron, je dejal, da se lahko venezuelsko ljudstvo veseli, a da ne podpira metode prevzema oblasti. Nemški kancler Friedrich Merz je operacijo opisal kot kompleksno ter, kot mnogi drugi voditelji, kako pak pozval k spoštovanju mednarodnega prava. Britanski premier Keir Starmer ob ugrabitvi ni potočil solz. Italijanska premierka Giorgia Meloni pa je napad označila kot legitimno obrambno intervencijo. Sogovornik zahodnoevropske voditelje vidi kot podložne ZDA.
I believe that Pedro Sanchez, the prime minister, the president of Spain, did call for respect of international orders, which amounts to a denunciation of what Trump did. Western European leaders are extremely servile in great measure to the United States, and that's what Trump wants and has in ways which must be extremely humiliating to Europeans, has in a large measure achieved, whether it's the Keir Starmer or Emmanuel Macron or Merz. So as far as what the European leaders say, it would be hardly surprising if they do show their servility to the United States, what the United States does, which is extremely humiliating to European peoples.
Drugače so se odzvale države Latinske Amerike. Oblasti v Kolumbiji, Braziliji, Čilu, Urugvaju in Kubi so napad obsodile. Kolumbijski predsednik Gustavo Petro je po agresiji na mejo z Venezuelo poslal vojsko, ameriški predsednik Trump pa je danes v Kolumbiji zagrozil z vojaško intervencijo.
Immediately after this attack against Venezuela's sovereignty, Gustavo Petro, the president of Colombia, the presidents of Mexico, Brazil, all responded, Cuba, all responded against this terrific, terrible attack against Venezuelan sovereignty. And it's an attack against the whole region. And as anyone who thinks about what this means in international terms, the claim that countries do not have sovereignty, the claim that countries do not have the right to elect their own leadership, to choose their own leadership, to deploy and dispose of their resources according to their democratically chosen political forms. This, of course, is a terrific insult to peoples around the world. It's a terrific insult to the process of decolonization that happened from the middle of the last century, in which numerous countries around the world, in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, emerged and insisted on their right to exist, their right to dignity and sovereignty.
Predsednika Madura danes na sodišču v Manhattanu čaka branje obtožb zoper njega. Kot je razvidno iz 25-stranske obtožnice, so zvezni tožilci predsednika, njegovo ženo in sina Nicolasa Madura Guerra obtožili narkoterorizma, zarote uvoza kokaina, posedovanja avtomatskih pušk in uničevalnih naprav ter zarote uporabe teh orožij. Obtožbe zoper venezuelskega voditelja so enake kot iz obtožnice leta 2020. Ameriške oblasti Madura brez predloženih dokazov obtožujejo tudi vodenja sicer fiktivnega kartela Sons, ki ga je ameriška vlada novembra lani uvrstila na seznam tujih terorističnih organizacij. Kartel je izraz, ki se v državi že od 90-ih let uporablja za visoke vojaške poveljnike, ki so svojimi položaji obogateli. Ameriška vojska je v zadnjih mesecih pred obalo Venezuele napadla več plovil, ki so jih poskušali upravičevati z obtožbami o prevažanju fentanila v ZDA, kljub temu, da največ fentanila v imperiji pride prek Mehike in Kanade. Sogovornik pove, da so obtožbe izmišljene.
This is completely false. If people who followed the aggressions against Venezuela over the past, since August of last year, they've been claiming that Venezuela brings fentanyl into the United States and cocaine. The claim of fentanyl, as everybody knows, is completely absurd. Fentanyl comes through Canada. Some of it comes through Mexico. As far as the cocaine trade is concerned, even our enemies, the U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency, the DEA, point out that Venezuela has never been a producer of cocaine. Never. There's no coca production. There's no coca leaf production in Venezuela, and neither is there cocaine production. Now, there is some of the traffic, approximately 5%, according to the Drug Enforcement Agency, which is not a friendly organization. According to the Drug Enforcement Agency, perhaps 5% of the cocaine traffic that goes to the United States passes through Venezuelan waters, but approximately 80% of the cocaine traffic passes through the Pacific. And Trump has been attacking small boats that are very likely fishermen. And even if they were drug trafficking boats, they would be insignificant. And they also do not have the fuel capacity to reach the United States. So the whole claim is distorted from the beginning. Then they talk about, people may have heard these claims about the cartel of the Soles. That would be the Sun cartel. This is essentially a fiction or a journalistic shorthand that was developed in the 1990s, well before the Bolivarian government came into power. Venezuelan generals have suns on their epaulets, and so some journalists in the 1990s, well before the revolution began, used a shorthand for military people who would collaborate with drug traffickers in the Fourth Republic before the revolution began. But there never existed any cartel. This was a journalistic shorthand for people in the military who might collaborate. So what's turned out to be a journalistic shorthand and probably yellow journalism and bad journalism has turned into the U.S. discourse to an actually existing cartel, which nobody believes exists. It never existed and it doesn't exist right now.
Za svobodno Venezuelo. Tim upa, da se ameriški imperialisti sprejo. LP. La Juventud del Mon.